morning is faithful to the end. And it is, of course, based on today's readings from the scripture, which we have just heard. I'm not sure why the lectionary specifies such a short extract from Malachi's prophecy, but I would like to put this in some sort of context, because I think this will help us gain more from our consideration of the reading from Luke's Gospel when we turn to that. Tricia read for us only verse 1 and the first part of verse 2 from Malachi chapter 4, the final chapter of our Old Testament scriptures. I'd like to read to you some of the final verses of chapter 3. If you wish to look it up, it's on page 962 of your pew Bible. And I'll start at verse 13. You have said harsh things against me, says the Lord. Yet you ask, what have we said against you? You have said, it is futile to serve God. What did we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly the evildoers prosper, and even those who challenge God escape. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. They will be mine, says the Lord Almighty, in the day when I make up my treasured possessions. I will spare them, just as in compassion a man spares his son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. And then into verse chapter 4. Surely the day is coming, it will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble, and the day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them, but for you who revere my name, the Sun of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. We can see from these verses that people had lost heart. They can't see God, and they can't see the point of taking him seriously. God's law seems to crush all joy out of life, while the proud and assertive go from strength to strength. But, a group of faithful people get together and they compare notes. They resolve to commit themselves wholeheartedly to God. And God records their names and their resolutions on a scroll and swears he will stand by them and prove them to be true. So it is in this context that God's promise through the prophet Malachi comes to us. Be faithful. The day will come. Evil will be finally destroyed completely, and the warm sunshine of our deliverance will be felt and enjoyed. Now let's turn to our reading from Luke's Gospel, chapter 21, verses 5 to 19. It's page 1056 in your pew Bible if you wish to have it open. We've just heard this read for us by Mike, so I will not read it out again. But you will recall that the disciples are admiring the temple in Jerusalem. This is the renewal and extension of the second temple organized by Herod the Great. The second temple was built when the Jews returned from exile in Babylon. The design is impressive, with dazzling white stone and burnished gold finishes. The project was carried out between 19 BC and 64 AD, which includes Jesus' lifetime on earth. Jesus solemnly predicts that one day this temple will be completely destroyed. The disciples ask, when will this be? And they ask, what will be the sign? What will be the warning sign of it about to happen? In his reply, Jesus describes two crises. One will be the destruction of Jerusalem, including the temple, which will happen within a generation. The other will be the coming of the Son of Man, that is, his own second coming, which will happen at the end of the age. Because we have the benefit of hindsight, we can easily see that the first prediction came true. I'm sure most of you are well aware of the destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans in AD 70. However, perhaps you are not so familiar with the previous destruction of Jerusalem and its temple by the Babylonians in 586 BC. So once again, God uses Gentile forces against his own people to punish their sin. This second time, the judgment will fall because Jerusalem has rejected and killed God's Messiah. It is a judgment that is first signaled when Jesus clears the temple of traders, and then when the temple curtain is torn when he dies. It was completed by the Roman armies of Titus. We know this from historical facts, but as Bible-believing Christians, it is encouraging and faith-building to realize that we can rely on God's word, even if we don't have any empirical evidence. The second crisis predicted by Jesus is harder to fully understand, and it has led to countless examples of people foolishly trying to put precise dates to the end of time, despite Jesus's clear statement elsewhere that only God the Father knows the time when that will happen. So, what can we learn from Jesus's words on this occasion? Well, Jesus's first warning is about false prophets and teachers. Verse 5, watch out that you are not deceived, for many will come in my name, claiming I am he, and the time is near. Do not follow them. It has always been and continues to be the case that we need to know the scriptures, especially the gospel, to believe it and to stick faithfully to its simple but profound truth. Jesus' second warning is that when we hear of wars and revolutions, do not be frightened. I guess we could say that we are hearing plenty about wars and revolutions at the present time. So now is the time to recommit to God, our loving Heavenly Father. Let's put all our faith and trust in Him and the promises of His Word. Let us not be afraid. Jesus has told us, these things must happen first, but the end will not come right away. So let's not waste time on speculation. Let's concentrate on being faithful disciples. Jesus' next statement again emphasizes the unpleasant events that will be evident. In verses 10 and 11 we read, "Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven." But before all this, we now come to the final two warnings, and perhaps those we fear most, if we are honest. In verses 12 and 13 and 16 and 17, we have the warnings. Let me read them to you. "But before all this, they will lay hands on you and persecute you. They will deliver you to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors, and all on account of my name. This will result in your being witnesses to them. And you will be betrayed even by parents, brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. All men will hate you because of me." But accompanying these dire warnings, which we find so unsettling, there are two great promises. The good news is that the warnings are accompanied by wonderful promises in verses 14, 15, 18, and 19. Let me read those to you. "But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourself. But not a hair of your head." Sorry, I should have carried on. "Defend yourselves. I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict." And then, "not a hair of your head will perish." So although the warnings are serious and give us serious cause for concern, the promises are that we do not need to succumb to worry or fear. By standing firm, by being faithful to the end, that is our purpose and commitment. We pray, Lord Jesus, come. We look forward to the warmth of our ultimate salvation as the Sun of Righteousness rises with healing in its wings. Amen.
And a perfect accompaniment to what David has just been saying to us is the following hymn, which we'll stand and sing together, Jesus, the name high over all, number 323 in the Sing Glory book. Please stand. Please remain standing and let's declare together our common faith.